Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve. Thanks for joining us here on New Life Live. And when I say us, I am talking about Chris Williams. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good to be here with you.
And we have back Jackie Mack Harris, and she just did such a great job when she was on before. And, you know, she joined us on Life Recovery Today to talk about how, well, and she was getting a master's degree, and they suggested, or you had to go to a 12-step recovery meeting, and it kind of changed the course of her life. Isn't that right, Jackie?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It did.
I wonder who assigned that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you the teacher?
Were you the teacher?
I was.
That's so cool. And it changed my life.
Well, that is wonderful. I really think you're very wise, and as I told you when you were on before, you know, it's a lot of people can be great in a therapist office, and a lot of people can be great on a radio program, but to be able to do both is a pretty cool thing, and so we're glad that you're here. I want to remind everybody that we have a phone number. If you'd like to call us, we don't have your number, but you can have ours. It's 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. Would love to talk with you. Whatever you want to talk about, we're right here. And most days, I think this is one of them, we're pretty safe to talk to. I want to bring up something, and that is that we are very close to having our online workshop, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop, February the 13th. But we're even closer to Every Man's Battle. And Every Man's Battle is going to be just a week away on, I believe it's the 6th of February. And you can sign up. And what's so great about both of these is that when people come, many people, life is never the same again. I was just listening to a job interview with a guy who was unfaithful, went to Every Man's Battle. After all of that, goes to church for the first time, becomes a believer, working out at Saddleback, facilitating the recovery groups. I mean, just... And would that have ever happened if he hadn't come to Every Man's Battle? So you just don't know what is lying on the other side of this crummy thing that I know you'd rather not have in your life. So call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and just let us tell you all about it. And if you've got somebody that you love, care about, and you'd like them to go, well, you can make the first call and we'll tell you how best to explain it to them with the most likely chance that they would end up right there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. Now, I want to remind everybody that this is kind of the time, if you haven't already, that you start blowing it on those New Year's resolutions. So what does that mean? It just means that you've learned a new limitation that you have, that in and of yourself, you can't do this thing you wanted to do, but two people working on it together, a real life counselor, a coach, someone that can give you some insight into what the big hang up is, it could change everything. And so we'd love to help you with that too, because it's not just about workshops here. We've got therapists all over this country, and we'd love to connect you with somebody that could really, really help. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be here with Chris Williams and Jackie Mack Harris. You can see all of this on the New Life Live YouTube channel right now. And two smiling faces out there in California. Also, just want to mention, Every Man's Bible sales are up 100% this past 6 months over last year. It was already the best-selling men's study Bible. If you know a man who doesn't read the Bible, if you look at all the reviews on Amazon, he'll read this one. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. And one of the things that Jackie discovered, well, what was it, Jackie, when you went to this 12-step meeting, what did you discover about yourself?
I discovered that as a response to the trauma that I'd experienced in my childhood, I'd become an emotional avoider. And okay. Emotional avoiders use lots of different things to stay away from feeling emotional pain. So it could be disassociating, which I usually call hitting the mute button and just kind of shutting down and kind of leaving the space internally so you're not really connecting with what's going on. It could also be using substances. My substance of choice was alcohol, and that kept me from having to feel feelings. And at the time, I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. It wasn't until I went to Al-Anon and started hearing people talk about the ways in which they'd cope with their childhood and having an alcoholic father, that I realized that that's what I had been doing, and things began to change.
Well, I think two things there. One, you went, and then you were willing to listen when you went and participate. A lot of people, they'll go, and they just won't even receive anything, and then they go, well, I didn't enjoy that. I'm not going back. But it really can be a game changer when you do it. All right, let's go to our phones. And how about we go to Renee from Canton, Ohio? I had eye surgery, so I have a big magnifying glass to see the call screener thing here. But, yeah, let's do talk to Renee here. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
I'm okay.
You're okay. Good.
I called you guys last year. My youngest son is now 5, but he has epilepsy and was scheduled to have brain surgery. He ended up having that surgery on May 4th, and since then, praise God, he has been seizure-free.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's so good.
Now, my question is, my 12-year-old son has... In the past 5 years, our family has just had the most horrible time. But about March of last year, he just started acting out. And it's been getting worse. And I take away devices, and I try to talk to him, and we go for walks. And I try to, you know, maybe I'm not giving him enough attention. Maybe he needs more of me. So I try to give him that. But he's still talking about, you know, wanting to die in a hole. I don't have a heart. You know, stuff like that. And, you know, with my 14-year-old having autism and my 5-year-old having epilepsy and trying to deal with this, I don't know what to do. He's scheduled to have a appointment with a psychiatrist on the 22nd of February. But until then, I need help now.
Yeah.
What can I do to help him?
Okay. Great question. I'm glad you called. And do you think what he's doing is intensified just as a result of what the attention that your other son has been getting through all of that? Do you think that it's a reaction to that or not?
I don't really think so. Like, he begged me to move into my youngest son's room because he was scared that Jack would have a seizure in the middle of the night and he wouldn't, that no one would hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Chris? Let's start with you.
Renee, I just have a question. Where is Dad?
His father, both of my older two sons have the same father, and we've been divorced for over a decade, almost it's 2021, about 15 years now.
And what's his dad's, if any, involvement been in his life?
They spend 6 weeks over the summer with their father, and they get to see him usually for Thanksgiving. Mm. But other than that, it's a phone call here, a phone call there.
Yeah. Yeah, because it really just sounds like there is a lot of relational pain in your 12-year-old, and he doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know how to really express it well. And it makes sense because it's sort of like, well, I have Dad. I get to see Dad, but Dad's not here at the same time.
And there's one more thing you need to know.
That would be great.
My dad was the rock in my 12-year-old's life.
Mm.
He died of lung cancer in 2017. And since then, he was 8 years old at the time.
Yeah. So
he's been lost because Grandpa was like Dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Renee, when you look at it, long before your 12-year-old is able to really identify his emotions well, understand what's going on the inside, he is facing and experiencing tons of loss. There is an impermanence around his relationships. And it's interesting that they're all male. So, you know, you go with Dad, you go with Grandpa, and then the fear around having his brother in this life-threatening medical condition. And so his relational world is not safe. It is really insecure, and yet he doesn't know what to do with that, and he doesn't have a clear understanding of what that means for him. And oftentimes, the loss and the grief that we aren't able to work through and express and find comfort in, it gets stuck, and it turns into typically anxiety and or anger, which then leads us down into despair. And what that is...
That's where he is right now.
Yes. Yeah. And what I believe your son is experiencing is tremendous loss. He just doesn't know what to do with it yet.
Well, what kind of help have you gotten for him, or has he received? Anything?
He is in counseling. He's been in counseling for about 2 years now, through a company that goes into the schools, so he's able to get his counseling treatment in school. And he also has a case manager that also works with him.
Okay. And how do you feel about the counselor that he has? Do you like the counselor?
I believe that she's gotten very far with him, but... Mm-hmm. He has this defense mechanism where if he doesn't want to talk about something, he'll either deflect it or he'll just smile like everything's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you guys think she should do beyond supporting the school counseling and being available to talk through these things with her son?
I really feel like that's the thing that he needs, and it's not really fixable. He is experiencing a lot of anxiety and fear that is in response to some very real things that we can't take away. So helping him learn how to cope with his feelings, which it sounds like, Mom, you're doing. You're spending time with him. You're going on walks with him. There's someone talking to him at school. He has a case manager. He's going to see the psychiatrist. Continue seeking out things that he can do to help alleviate some of his stress and some of his anxiety. He's really worried a lot most of the time, and that can cause despair and him not, you know, just wanting to go into a hole to get away from this fear and anxiety. So giving him room to talk about that, maybe even being able to find some meditative practices for him or some physical outlet for him so that he can work off some of that adrenaline that's just always pumping through him. Like there's a tiger chasing him. There's some danger coming even when there isn't. But I think, Mom, you're doing all the right things, and it's probably exhausting because you're all hands on deck all the time. But he knows you're there with him. He knows you listen to him. You believe him. He can trust that you will show up if he is struggling with something. And that's giving him a sense of security and a safe base. So I would continue to be that. But also to get some self-care for yourself so that you can continue to have the bandwidth mm-hmm. to meet their needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was reading about David today and how he was such a passive father. And one of the boys that tried to take over as king, it says that David never disciplined him and never even talked to him about, hey, why are you taking over the throne or trying to? Now, that was a really crummy, horrible thing. Now, just imagine, it's not just passivity, but it's absence and passivity, both, the impact that that could have on a child, and especially with this wonderful grandfather that's no longer around. So I think you got to find these male figures, youth worker, some club or something. But like I've told this before, when Madeline turned 16, I had a dinner birthday party for her 16th birthday that I didn't go to. There were six women there that I had brought around her. I was her, she lived with me. I was her primary parent. And I wasn't a woman. So I had to go find six different type of women that would put into her life. She turned out to be just one of the most incredible people ever. And I think that was part of it. Those women put so much into her. So I would suggest that you try to build this team of men around the boys. And my wife, Misty, the same thing. She brought men into the life of her boys. Men at the church, happily married, would take the boys, do stuff with them. I just think you have to supplement when dad or mom is not around.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you called. And I'm trying to think of a resource that we might send you.
Here's what I'm thinking, Steve. Renee, I think how we love our children would be really good for you here. And it just helps us connect to the deeper level of emotions, both in ourselves and obviously in our children and the people around us. Because really what your son needs to be able to have the opportunity to do is, he says he doesn't have a heart. He has a heart. His heart is in pain and fear. And so he would rather avoid the pain and fear and not have a heart than have a heart that's wrapped in pain and fear. What he needs to do is find a place to identify and talk about and get comfort for his pain and fear so his heart can open up once again. And by the way, when our heart opens up in those vulnerable places that are difficult, it's kind of like the Grinch. It grows three times that day. It can be painful and agonizing, but there is a phenomenal result. So yeah, I suggest how we love our children.
The other thing, final comment is, and I don't want to be negative about any therapist, but you know, when this defense thing happens, a therapist that can work well with children doesn't just say, okay, well, that's the defense mechanism. You figure out, what do I do to break through to that child who's doing this thing? And that can really be the benefit. So I would talk with that counselor and say, hey, how can we break through here? All right, 1-800-229-3000, that is the phone number. And how about we talk with, let's go to Ann. She is from Dallas, Texas. On line three there. Hey, Ann, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
How can we help you? And we do want to help.
I have a stepdaughter who's 30, and she lives in a different state from all of her family. And she's had anxiety her entire life, even been hospitalized a couple of times when she was young. And now she's never been treated. Her parents didn't treat her for that. She has depression as well. And now she's, for the last 10 years, she's been drinking to the point where the family's now considering maybe we need to do an intervention.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of trauma. I was going to say her parents are divorced, and that caused a significant amount of trauma in her. And then she got married young at 20, and she got a divorce.
Hmm.
And now her boyfriend was killed in a pedestrian accident. He was walking the dog, and a car hit him.
Okay, hold on. So, we'll get to you right after this message.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And this is your stepdaughter, is that right?
That's correct.
And so you're married to her father?
Her father,
uh-huh. And are you... what's he doing in all of this? Where is he?
So, bottom line, the family is split between getting her help and not getting her help. He is on the side of getting her help. And unfortunately, we've tried many, many times. Half the family has tried to offer to take her to counseling. She lives in another state, though. Pay for counseling, she refuses to get help. Mm-hmm. So her sister and my husband are at the point where we think she needs intervention because she's not going to do it on her own. But the question we had is number one, is that the right choice? Because her mother and brother think it's a waste of money, and because she's not going to go and she won't stay. And then the question is, if we did that, is it alcoholism or is it crisis intervention, or we don't know what to do?
Yeah. Okay, let me just say this. Nobody can predict what a person is going to do. Nobody's powerful enough to predict what happens when you take someone like her and you put her in a place that does a good job. They know that everything in her doesn't want to be there, and they deal with that. They deal with the shock of having this intervention done. You can't predict whether or not she's going to respond to a caring team of people that want to convince her, we're your answer. We're what you've been looking for. Now take advantage of it now that you're here. So I hate to hear somebody say she wouldn't benefit, she will leave. You don't know that that's true. A lot of people will tell you, the last thing I wanted was to get any kind of help. Mm-hmm. And that was when I got the help. So that's one thing.
Okay.
But the second thing is, there is nothing more painful than someone like her takes her life, and you were on the side of, I don't think we ought to get her help. It's a horrible thing. I think we ought to all do whatever we can do. And yes, we might have to give up a few times eating out to pay for an interventionist, but you just need to be, everybody needs to be willing to do whatever they can do to get her some kind of help. Jackie, what do you think about what you've heard here?
Well, I have a question. What's your relationship with her like? Are you in communication with her? Will she have conversations with you?
Yeah, I'm practically the only person that, other than her sister, she's extremely close to her sister. But from an adult parent, I'm the only person she'll talk to. To her real parents, her biological parents, she gives them what they want to hear, not the real truth.
Mm.
And when
so
she's talking,
talk to me about her pain.
So she will talk to you about her pain.
Yes, but when I try and offer help, I'll ask her, "Have you considered a counselor?" And tell you how good they are. I know I should go. We'll help you pay for it all the way up there. No, I don't want to put you out. She resists
mm-hmm.
help, even though she will come back over and over again and say how much pain she's in.
Well, and she comes back over and over again and says how much pain she's in, and you respond favorably and are, sounds like a safe place. You said you're willing to go be there with her. What would it be like for you to actually go and be present with her and have this conversation? And so you can actually take her to the therapist and be in that first session so she's not going alone, and show her that it's not putting you out. It's something you want to do. So she doesn't have to ask for it. You bring it to her rather than her having, because it doesn't sound like she wants to make the decision.
Angry.
Okay. If you showed up without her knowing that you were already on your way.
Yes.
Okay.
That would make her very angry. She and I, our personalities are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's another reason why she talks to me, because I get her.
Yeah, so
she's highly independent.
So sometimes when people do something for your benefit, do you get angry?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You can allow her to be angry. That's okay. She can be angry.
The question is, will she get in the car? Get her in the car, anger and all, and get her to a place of help.
And just letting her know that you love her enough for her to be angry at you, and you still be there anyway.
Yeah. So Anne, what a really good skilled interventionist will do is they will help create this container of deep love and combine it with deep truth to provide the best opportunity in a moment for Anne to get the help that she needs. For your stepdaughter to get the help that she needs. And that's what we want. We just want her to take that next step, because I just want you to know she is in a life-threatening situation. This is life and death.
Okay.
Now, it may not be imminent like tomorrow, but she is on the clock with what she's experiencing. And so I raise the flag to that level because it is important. We have interventionists that we're connected to here at New Life. And so I want you to be able to hold on and do that. We'll get you the help that you need.
All right. And also, you know, you show up at somebody's house and say, I'm going to this therapist to learn how to help you, but you could come with me. Sometimes that is the beginning.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know, I'll send her Understanding and Loving a Person with Chemical Dependency. And also, I'll send the one for depression, too. I think they'll help you. But just for everybody that's listening, you know, there are so many resources available. And if you know somebody that's struggling and they're kind of close to you, it would be good to take a few minutes and find out what is available for this person. Because there are a lot of things available. You know, Salvation Army, people think it's for homeless people. Salvation Army, in some of these locations have some of the best counseling, some of the best recovery programs ever. And so don't give up. Some of these city missions have really good programs. So you just have to find out what your county or your city has, or you can let us try to help you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But I hate to hear these things. And, you know, Chris and Jackie, she used alcohol to get through all of this.
Yes.
And there is a case to be made that she might not have gotten through it if she hadn't found an inappropriate coping mechanism, but if she hadn't found something to get her to this point, to survive to this point. Now we got to pick it up and give her the help that she needs.
You know, one of the exercises I use with people recovering from addiction is they write letters to their addiction. And one of the things I have them include in there is gratitude. And that sounds insane, I know. But the addiction helped them survive the pain. Unfortunately, it's also the addiction that's going to threaten their life and create more pain. But it's just part of the clarity of like, hey, we find these things for a reason, not because we're stupid or immoral, but because there's nothing else that we found that works to alleviate our fears, our pains, our hurts that we carry in the world.
Yeah. Very good. All right. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And how about we go to, well, this is Carol from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi, Carol. How are you today?
Oh, I'm happy to be talking to you. I made up my mind last night. God directed me to you guys a while ago. And I can't even listen to you in my house. I have to be in the car someplace.
Really?
Away from my house. But you guys
why
are
is
awesome.
That?
Awesome. Awesome.
Why do you have to be away to the house from the house?
I don't know why. I just can't get the signal in my house.
Oh, got it.
I'm sitting in a parking lot by a grocery store. But
yeah.
I have a son who's 52 years old who is severely, severely depressed. And he lives with me. He was bullied. We lived in Utah when he was in 8th and 9th grade. He was bullied for 2 years. Prior to being in Utah, he was a regular kid. He was quiet, a good student, and had friends.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he never had any friends and wasn't that good a student. And so anyhow, here he is all these years later, and he has such severe depression. He was on Effexor, I think, and then he was advised by a peer counselor how to get off of it. Anyhow, I'm not making sense here. Wait a minute.
Well, but you are. You're making sense.
Okay.
What's the question?
The question is, I just don't know what to do with him. He has severe depression. I did an intervention. He was on Ativan for 11 years, I guess. And I did an intervention, and all was supposed to go well, and it didn't. And it's just been an absolute nightmare. And my husband's gone. So he lost his dad 6 years ago, and I lost my husband. And and I'm absolutely, absolutely desperate to help him, because underneath all the pain, he's so miserable. And I am so, I'm 74, I'm so lively and full of life and full of hope, and it's just so hard to have him in my house.
Oh, dear.
So, Carol, you're 74, you are lively, you're full of life, you're full of optimism and hope, but underneath that, you have a well of painful losses.
Yep.
And you've been able to cope and work through those painful losses with your optimism.
Right.
He's coping with his painful losses through depression.
Right.
But my friend, thank you for calling, because you both need the same thing. You need to be able to work through and talk through the painful losses and the fears and the hurts and the loneliness and everything that comes alongside of that, and put it in a safe place and receive the comfort that you need. He's just found a different way to deal with those painful losses than you.
Right.
Right? So, because I can hear, like, you want him to be, you think that positivity is going to solve his problem. And I'm not saying that that's not good. That's a really cool way to cope with it. But that's all it is. It never actually deals with what's going on underneath it all.
Jackie, you have a thought here for her that might be helpful?
I do have a thought. And this might seem like a silly analogy because he's a 52-year-old man. But there's a movie called Inside Out. It's a cartoon. And in this movie, there's all these different emotions. And one of the emotions, joy, has a hard time allowing sadness to be present, even though sadness can be really important. And so, as Chris said, you both deal with your emotional pain and your loss in different ways. His way may be different from yours. And I think that if he could, maybe you could help him find a counselor that, you said he had a peer counselor that helped him come off of Effexor, maybe finding him a counselor that he can meet with regularly on a weekly basis to help him find ways to cope with his depression that more resonates with who he is. Since he maybe isn't as optimistic as you are and as lively as you are, and that's okay.
Correct.
Sometimes we just have different personalities, and you may have noticed that shift that happened when he was a young man. That might have just been him developing into maybe more of an introvert. So without knowing more about who he is, I think it might be helpful for you to, one, kind of just accept that maybe that part of it is his personality. And yes, you guys have had some loss, and that brings about sadness, and it's okay to acknowledge and validate that. And then we start to move forward looking for ways to regain energy and hope. And so maybe trying to find someone in his area that he can meet with on a regular basis would be a good place to start.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the pain that we're hearing that you're in. I'm really sorry about that.
You guys, I listen to you. I'm telling you, I love you guys. I just, you know, what you're doing is so awesome, and I have become a monthly member. You guys are just amazing, just absolutely amazing. Is there anybody like in this area that you could recommend, you know, for him?
Well, I do think we have somebody in your area, so I want you to hold on. And see if our folks there in Dallas can connect you with somebody that would really be helpful. And we're so sorry for what you are going through. And I'm just going to send you this. I'll send you both Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice. And I hope somehow that those are going to minister to you in a brand new way.
You know, Steve, Steve, if I can say real quickly, there are so many of us out there that are kind of just emotionally stuck and can't get out of it. And whether it be the depression, the anxiety, the sadness, or this patterns that repeat himself. And I just want to encourage people that our Emotional Freedom Workshop coming up on March 27th, it's still a couple months out, and so we want to get help before that. But I want people right now to commit to that. Because what they are able to go through and experience in that day-long workshop really can loosen up those places that are stuck emotionally and start to move forward in some really positive ways.
So true. You can find out all about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can find a counselor for you in your area. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number to call. And you know, you heard her talk about what the program means to her. That's why we're here, and we can't be here without your support. And so I'm going to ask you, if you possibly could, to support this ministry with a gift. You join Club New Life. We send you an entire library. But one of the things we've offered this month is the New Life Journal, which is a directive journal. You don't have to try to figure out what to journal. It tells you, hey, write about this, discover this. And you know, the Bible says, consider the rock from which you were hewn. In other words, let's go back and take a look at some of the things that have formed us and made us. Some people say, oh, it doesn't do any good to look back. No, it doesn't really do much good to look back. But to do some work back there, because you've dragged all that back up into the present, it's not really back there anymore, is it? When we work through things with a counselor, you say, I don't even know what that is. Well, when you get into counseling, you find out that work can be some of the most rewarding ever. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, that's our number. We would love for you to join us. We've got a whole other program to do right after this, and so if I don't get to your call, please hold on. Let's go to, how about we talk with, well, I don't know who that is. So let's go to Deborah in Seattle, Washington, KGNW. Hi, Deborah. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, doing pretty well, and I'm glad you called. What could we help you with here?
Yeah, I was calling hoping that you might have some resources, possibly. I have a family member with Alzheimer's, with mid to late stage Alzheimer's, who was not, they were not a Christian prior to getting Alzheimer's, and I became a Christian 3 years ago. They actually had a brain injury years ago, and now they have Alzheimer's.
So sad.
But anyway, I've been a Christian for 3 years, and I want to be able to help my family member learn about the gospel and possibly accept Christ somehow, but they have really limited communication. And so I've talked to a couple of people that I know who are Christians, and they all say, oh, well, just read the Bible with her. You know, you can do it. And it's like, I don't feel like I can. I feel like I'd like to get together with somebody that has experience with Alzheimer's who's a Christian that can help me with it.
Why do you say you don't think you can read the Bible with her, that she wouldn't hear it, or what?
Well, I mean, I can, and I have a couple times, but I don't have, but I would like to at least get together with somebody, with another Christian who has experience with people with Alzheimer's for a couple times that could help me reach her. I don't know.
Okay, and the question for us then would be what? What is our question to help you with?
Being on the radio, I'm hoping or that maybe you would have some kind of a resource, like maybe some suggestions on how I can connect with a Christian that may have experience with Alzheimer's.
Well, let me say this. There are some folks that have moments of clarity. They drift in and then they drift back out. I don't know if she does that, but I think you'd be surprised at how many times people do kind of get closer to reality and their brains functioning on all cylinders. And if you were there with her at that time, then, you know, there is a chance she could accept Christ. The best thing I can think of is that you would call your church or maybe the largest church in your area and ask if they have somebody that could help you with this. What are you thinking, Chris, Jackie?
I'm thinking check the Alzheimer's Association in your area and just ask if they have any ministries that are working through Alzheimer's Association, so that in that way you get someone who specializes in Alzheimer's who also may be able to help you with how to share the gospel with your family member. But I also think it's important for you to keep in mind that, you know, we share the gospel daily and when necessary use words. So you, in her presence, loving her and showing her the love of Jesus and talking about Jesus and how Jesus saves and that the gospel truth is that Jesus went to the cross for our salvation, and just continuing to say those simply put things, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for your sins. And Steve is correct. There are moments of lucidity, and in those moments, she'll hear that. But mostly, even if she can't remember the short-term things you might be saying, she has long-term memories of her relationship with you. And as you continue to love on her and show her the love of Christ, that is going to come through and change her heart. Yeah. So I would continue loving her, and you just share the simple truths. You don't need someone to come in and do a whole sermon with you. You just share the love of Jesus and what he did, and that's the basic principle, accepting Christ and his act on the cross for your salvation.
Yeah. Chris, you have anything you want to add to that?
I would just add, affirm that. And Deborah, it sounds like God has put this on your heart, not on somebody else's. And so, but there's a fear, you know, how do I reach a person who is experiencing something like Alzheimer's? Or we all have the experience of how do I reach someone who is just different than me? And so that was the problem or the struggle from the very beginning. How does God use a person with a speech impediment or a stutter to lead the largest liberation movement in human history? Well, we just go. We respond to the call, and as Jackie was saying,
right. Are you talking about Moses?
Yeah. So he felt completely...
That's very interesting, because I actually also have a stuttering problem.
and look, God uses this. He uses our weaknesses. He uses our limitations. But when we respond in faith and say, okay, I'm going to show up, I'm going to read a couple verses from the Bible that I think would be helpful, I'm going to pray for her, and then I'm going to leave the rest up to God. God's going to do whatever he needs with that information.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm really glad you called, and I just want to say this. You know, sometimes it's music, and sometimes it's music from childhood that when you play that, sometimes the long-term memory's intact. It's in great shape, and so it takes them back. It gives them a spark of life there. But look, we always worry about what we're going to say, and I think, Jackie, you're right that you do want to share the gospel, and if only use words if you have to. Just your presence there says so much to a person, just your willingness to be there for them. So it may not be perfect, but your presence is really all that's needed. Just be there.
And Steve, I just wanted to say one last thing. I know you're wanting to bring in someone else, Deborah, to help you, but oftentimes people who have dementia and Alzheimer's don't tolerate change very well, and so they may not even respond well to this new person who's a stranger in the same way that they would to you, who's a family member who they've known back in the days when they still had full capacity of their memory.
Good, really good point there. All right, I'm glad that you called. And I want to send you this Restoration Bible, and it's a great one to read out of to somebody who's really struggling with whatever. If you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you could support us, and I'll send you the New Life Journal. You could find out about Every Man's Battle on February the 6th, Intimacy in Marriage. I really think it ought to be called Taking a Pretty Good Marriage and Making It Fantastic, and Taking Horrible Marriages and Making Them Fantastic, too. But it was just too long to put in the title. But that's what it's all about. And then Restore is February 27th, and Chris and I doing Emotional Freedom. That's March the 27th. And Jackie, I think you're going to join us for that. Aren't you going to be doing a little bit on trauma?
Sure.
Emotional Freedom?
Yes.
Maybe we haven't asked you yet, but how can you say no on national radio?
Right.
Tag, you're it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. If you want to join us on this next program, it's 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to have you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.